This is 91.7 WHUS Storrs, Connecticut, and you're listening to Bicycle Talk. It is November 23rd, 2016. My name is Ron Meniza, otherwise known as Peddlin' Ron. Welcome to Bicycle Talk, this week with my co-host, Fran Storch, a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you have a comment or would like to contribute information to the show, please call or text at 860-486-9487, or you can email me at bicycletalk1@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening. And if you are listening to this on a podcast, which we put out every week on iTunes, you can also email me at bicycletalk1@gmail.com if you have any other contributions you would like to add to the show. So we're going to start out the show, as I do every week, with a rant of the week. The rant of the week is actually going to work into a guest who we have calling in today. The rant of the week is it's a little bit of a tough one, but, you know, it's Thanksgiving. We think about a lot of things. We think about friends and family and that sort of thing. So I wanted to go over this particular item, and the item that I wanted to go over here is there are some laws that are out right now that are really, really difficult to work with if you're a cyclist or a pedestrian and you are hit by a motorized vehicle. And right now, the laws are in a place where they tend to favor the driver of the motorized vehicle. And this is something that we would like to see in all states. We would like to see this change because it's a problem. So I'm gonna relay a story. This was from an Oklahoma woman who was charged with killing one cyclist and injuring another while texting and driving last year. And they just recently reached a plea deal. And this particular person pleaded guilty to both manslaughter and overtaking a bicycle. She's going to serve 10 months of a 15-year sentence and will then have to speak publicly about the dangers of texting and driving. That's all well and good, which is nice, but, you know, someone was killed. There were two people involved. There was a Patrick Wenenkoff, and there was also a Bridget Anderson. And, anyway, that they were hit by this person who was texting while driving, which is a major problem. By the way, if you are texting while driving, please stop doing one or the other. Either stop texting or stop driving, because it's really dangerous, and it's extremely dangerous when we are out there on our bicycles, and we are also, or if we are a pedestrian too, it's extremely dangerous. So anyway, the person who hit these two, she admitted that she was texting and driving, and after spending time behind bars, she'll have to give 18 lectures in a 3-year period of time about her experience, so that she never forgets her victims. That's what they ended up coming up with. So she got a short sentence. That's actually a bonus. Sometimes you get no sentence, and then maybe you have to do some community service, and that's it. But it's, you know, if you were to use another form of weapon besides a motor vehicle, you would spend a whole lot more time behind bars for doing something like this. So anyway, the situation here is it's a little grim, because it tends to be in favor of the driver of the motorized vehicle, because our laws are kind of set up to deal with that. So this woman's going to begin her sentence on December 10th. She has to pay a $46,000 in restitution and will have to take a defensive driving class when she's released. She also has to maintain employment. She's currently a registered nurse and will have to continue the required annual training to keep up her certification. So this is tough, you know, because we're asking for someone to feel the punishment for killing someone with their car, but she's going to spend less than a year in jail. She's going to spend like 8 months in jail, and that's going to be it. And it's really not a good thing. I don't know what the answer is. If anyone has any ideas what the answer can be, that'll be great. I have a gentleman who is on hold right now and will be addressing this, and his name is Chris Phelan, and he is with the Ride of Silence, and he is going to be joining us here today. And if we could, Chris, are you there? I'm not hearing him yet. So we're trying to connect with Chris, and he is with the Ride of Silence. So this is, we're just trying to get through here, that's all.
Hello?
And we'll continue on. Chris, are you there?
Hello. Here
Chris is not there.
Good morning.
So anyway, we'll keep working on this until we get it. The point is that... there are people that are paying attention to this because they've lost loved ones and friends.
Right. And
and so there is a national organization. Actually, it's a worldwide organization. And anyway, is Chris on the air yet? He's still not with us. So we're trying to connect through with Chris. If you're listening, Chris, you may have to call us back. I'm not real sure what's going on here. We're having a little bit of a technical problem. But if you could just call us back, that would be great. And it looks like their line's beeping. So as soon as Chris comes on, he will let us know he's here. And we'll take it from there. Anyway, the Ride of Silence is if you go onto the internet, you can find rideofsilence.org. It is a website which talks about the Ride of Silence, and it talks about, this is actually 445 events, 50 states in the U.S., 48 countries, 7 continents. It's a pretty big deal, and it happens in May every year, and it's a big organization. And again, this won't be until next May, which is also Bike Month. And so anyway, that's what you can do to find out more about it is go to rideofsilence.org online, and that will fill you in on that. So anyway, the organization, it was founded by the gentleman that we're trying to get through to, and hopefully he will be with us very, very shortly here. And he has some stories to tell, of course, too, which I met him at a dinner function for Connecticut Bike Walk. He did a talk there. It was very interesting to listen to what he had. The Ride of Silence is an important thing for us to understand. Cyclists are basically discriminated against by insurance companies, traffic engineers, city planners, authority courts, and politicians from neighborhood associations on up. And especially to the motorists who see of us as in front of their windshields. And these same people have failed to upload justice, and they keep a segment of its citizenry alive, having allowed motorists to be the bullies on a part of ground they are obligated to share, the same ground that cyclists have a right to be on. Cyclists are seemingly an invisible population.
Can you guys
hear it? And it's time for our city planners and authorities and courts to start paying attention to this sort of thing, because it appears that we are really like invisible. There you are. Hi. Chris, I'd like to thank you very much for coming to the program today.
I think we have Lacey Nickel with us from Florida also.
Oh,
yes,
great.
Oh,
Lacey, you got through. Great. We figured out the technological roadblock that we had here to try to get this all together. That's great. Yes, we also have Lacey Nickel here from Florida, and she will be contributing to this conversation too today. And I know that both of you guys are pretty involved in this Ride of Silence. Before I get you going, though, I like to do this with all my guests. And I'm going to, first of all, I'll start with Chris. And I'd like to ask Chris if you can remember your very first moment of being on a bicycle.
Actually, yes, I do. I laugh a little bit because of the circumstances around it. It's very familiar to people of my era, I guess, when... the mom or dad grabbed the back seat of the car, of the bicycle, and they put you out in the middle of the street. Hopefully, there wasn't too much traffic, and they just gave you a shove. I was probably about 5 or 6 years of age. I can almost see the bike, and it was just a regular standard beater bike, obviously. And they spent, I'll bet they spent an hour with me, because I would get no further than about 30 feet down the road off of their push with their hand, and then I would just lean over and crash.
This sounds so familiar.
One of the weirdest moments of being a parent, just watching your child, you know, slam into the concrete time and time and time again. But eventually I got it, obviously, and then the wheels were up, you know.
Yeah, once you get that independence, you're off and running, and it's really, really fun. But, you know, it's funny, I ask this question to every guest that comes onto the show, because it's kind of one of the little signature pieces that we do, and everyone has that same experience of, you know, the parent holding onto the back of the seat and going through that. But, Lacey, what was your first experience with a bicycle?
Well, I was probably the most graceful person ever. Not really, but we have an island at my parents' house in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I remember my stepdad was pushing me, kind of like Chris described, pushing the back seat, and it took over and over and over until I wouldn't just put my feet down to stop myself. And then finally, I somehow kept my balance, and I just kept going, and, you know, just kept riding my bike ever since.
Isn't it great? It's just such a wonderful thing. You know, we all go back to kind of the same story as we start out. But once you get on the bike, it's it. You're there, and you're on it for life, and it's just kind of a beautiful thing. Well, what we're going to be talking about today with you folks is we're going to be talking about the Ride of Silence, which, Chris, I believe you are. You can give us a little description about what you do, please.
Yeah, my official title is the founder. I'm the guy who got angry and decided to do it. There wasn't anything like this before, where you just had cyclists show up and rode quietly and slowly for a short distance in memorial of a cyclist down. So I did the first one on May 21st of 2003 as a one-time only event here in Dallas, and the whole thing, my wife went with me down to White Rock Lake because we didn't think anybody else was going to show up, and she didn't want me to look kind of weird and be embarrassed. So she came down with me along with another friend, Mike Keel, and the three of us came over the final rise to White Rock Lake, and 1,000 cyclists showed up.
Wow.
In this ride that I didn't honestly think anyone else was going to show up at. We had no organization. There wasn't cones or police or a microphone or shirts and banners or confetti or any of that stuff. It was just a mob, really. And I was a bit scared of it, to tell you the truth. I was not known as a mover and shaker in the area here in bikes. My strength was actually in running. And so standing in front of these people that didn't know me, and I knew a few of them, was a bit daunting. The helicopters were in the air. The police came out. There were reporters there. It was a circus because, you know, there's nothing scarier than 1,000 people standing around Lycra.
Yes, that is quite a sight. Yeah.
But, so the ride went off, and when we were done, Mike actually told me before we started the ride, he said, "Your life is never going to be the same." And actually, it hasn't. After that ride, I thought, okay, I'm done. The next day, I started having letters and cards and emails or whatever of people wanting me to come do the Ride of Silence in their area. And I thought there was no way it could be duplicated. You know, I thought the genie was out of the bottle. This is over with. So waited for 7 months till January of 2004 when I finally gave the go-ahead to all these places, and it was 50 locations from Hawaii to Montreal, which was phenomenal.
Wow.
At that time, in the perspective of what we have now, it might not be seen as much, but at that time, this had never occurred before. You know, a ride that took place on the same day at the same time just didn't happen. That was free. Just didn't happen.
So, So the significance of this is that it is during May, which is Bike Month, right? It's like a National Bike Month. So it's it kind of is in reference to that time, and you have a particular time that you do this, just so you can let us know.
Yeah, it's the third Wednesday in May, and it's at 7 p.m. all around the world.
Wow!
Last year we had over 440 locations, 48 countries. All taking off. I'm kind of thankful to be here on your show because in some ways we kind of scratch our heads and wonder, why doesn't the rest of the world know about this when you've got so many thousands and thousands of bikers out there everywhere, all 50 states. Every sitting president has known about it, and I've got letters from the last two sitting presidents who encourage it and support it. And yet it seems to just get swept under the carpet, much like a lot of bicyclist laws and etiquette.
Well, that's true. And, you know, we're probably going to bring you back on in May just because I want you to talk about this before the event. And we'll try to get the word out here on Bicycle Talk Land and get, you know, get people, at least locally on my part, going. And I know that this podcast does reach a lot more people. So hopefully we can get a bigger turnout for the 2017 event. I am assuming they're still going to be doing the 2017 event, correct?
Yes, I am, yes. In fact, right now, I think there's only four locations in Connecticut, and we've tried connecting them, you've got a great organizer up there, Colleen Alexander.
Oh, sure. Yeah, well, she would be one. She got pretty damaged by a vehicle once.
She did. She had quite a story to tell.
Yes, she does.
Great girl.
So anyway, so there's probably four different locations here, and I'll bet that we can get a lot more involved if we do it. Colleen is connected through Bike Walk Connecticut. It's a Connecticut-based organization that deals with pedestrian and cycling rights and legislation here in the state of Connecticut. So if we can get even more people involved, and I have a number of outlets with my job and what I do, so we'll hopefully build it up a little bit bigger here in Connecticut, because I would love to see it get larger.
Great.
If you have suggestions on that, that would be great. It looks like your website, looking at this, and you have a whole list of resources underneath here. So it shows event locations in the United States and internationally also. If you were going to encourage someone to do this, then what would you tell them to do if they wanted to organize an event like this?
Well, there's two ways to say. One is to show up at one and ride it, which is just fine. But many, many people, the great majority of people, don't have an event near where they live. I would encourage people to just, all they have to do is go to the website, put down their ride, you know, if they're going to ride from out front of their house, you know, and going to ride a 5-mile or a 12-mile circuit on that day at that time, and then it's in stone. That's it. That town now has a ride of silence, and that person that lists that ride will be the first person to be associated with that town. So Danbury, for example, Danbury has a really good organizer up there. It's Marty Fine, I think, organizes the ride up there. And
we are talking about the ride of silence here on Bicycle Talk today on WHUS.
So did you say that there's rides of silence in Connecticut as well?
There are four different rides of silence in Connecticut. So if you look on their website, which is the rideofsilence.org, then you will see event locations in the United States, and you can click on that. And when you click on that, you'll see a map of the United States, and you can click on your particular. We will probably get a little more update on this, too. And I know that through Bike Walk Connecticut that you can find out more about this, too. The significance to this is that the Ride of Silence happens during Bicycle Month, which May is traditionally been known as Bicycle Month. It's also the time when we have the annual Bike to Work Day is at the same time. And I think that the Ride of Silence,
I think it's Wednesday. I think what it says is Wednesday.
Oh, that's right. It is Wednesday. Mm-hmm. You're right. And then the Bike to Work Day is on Friday.
So I have here a post that's talking about the one back in May of this year, May 18th this year, in 2016. Your buddy, Tony Chirola, Solis led one in West Hartford.
Right.
And he was on the show.
Yeah.
Wayfarer Bicycle, right?
Okay.
That's New London, right?
Bobby Harrington, yeah.
Yep, they did one in New London as well.
That's good.
Chris Pilato, he hosted one at the Valley Shore YMCA.
Okay.
Do you know Marty Fine?
I do.
Marty Fine led one in Danbury.
Yeah.
So that's what happened this year, and I'm guessing that, I'm sure that will happen again this
year.
Well,
I'm thinking that we're probably going to have one here in Mansfield.
We should host one.
We should host one.
Yeah.
And that's what we should do. So if you're interested in hosting one of these, you should definitely get involved in this. And if you need to learn more about it, you can contact Chris through the Ride of Silence, and that's rideofsilence.org. Anyway, it's a good thing. It's just getting the word out. It's just letting people know. There are people out there that have suffered badly from motorized vehicle and bicycle collisions. So it's definitely a tough situation. And this is a good way to get public awareness, which is what we're really looking for here. We want to make sure that everybody knows what's going on. There's another thing that you see, too. If you are a motorist or a bicycle rider and you ride by a particular bike on the side of the road, which is painted all white, a bit of a statement that someone was killed on a bicycle there. So if you ever see one of those white bicycles on the side of the road, that's what a lot of people do. They'll take an old bicycle and they'll just paint it white and then chain it to a signpost or wherever the incident occurred, just to give people just a memory of the fact that, you know, you have to be careful out there. You know, bicycles we're very fragile on our bikes. We don't have the protection of a large box of metal around us to keep us protected when we are dealing with the car problem that's out there, cars and trucks. So, you know, you have to keep your eyes open and you have to pay attention to us and be sure to just give us some room. That's the key point right here, which I talk about all the time. I'm always pushing the idea of, you know, giving us our 3 feet, which I have talked about an awful lot, and about the laws that are around there. And the nice thing is that we are getting legislation now in a number of the states which is pushing the idea of the 3-foot law. And the 3-foot law is important because we just need that little extra space. And it doesn't seem like a lot, but it is enough to give us a little bit of a safety zone, which is very, very nice when you're riding your bike. It really helps out a lot. Ride of Silence. So if you are interested in putting together something, if you are looking to put a ride like this together and you are a good organizer, or even if you're not a good organizer, but you want to give this a shot, this is a great thing to do because it's just an awareness thing. It really, really helps make people a lot more aware of the fact that, you know, people's lives have been lost by riding their bicycles on the road and because of drivers just not giving the proper respect to the cyclist, or just not paying attention when they're driving their cars. And, you know, if you're not paying attention, you're driving your car. And we talked about this last week. We talked about the smart cars and, you know, the driverless cars that are coming out and how, you know, things are getting better that way. So there are actually alarms and there are things that are the alarms on the cars are starting to give us a little bit more safety. They're starting to give us a little bit more protection because they are letting people know that, you know, they're getting too close to us, and hopefully they are detecting us as well as other cars. But the real point is, if you're driving your car, don't text. Please don't text. Just don't do it. And if you're driving your car and you've had alcohol consumption, please just don't drive the car. Just don't do it. You know, you need to be responsible when you drive your vehicle. And it's a very important responsibility. You're driving in a cyclist world, in the world that we all live in. You're driving a loaded weapon as far as we're concerned. So it's really imperative that you drive without any kind of distraction whatsoever, whether it be alcohol or whether it be your cell phone or a text or anything, or texting or anything like that. Just don't do it while you're driving. You know, it's interesting. I'm in business and I travel as a salesman and I am always communicating with my customers. If you're driving your car, just drive your car. That's what you're supposed to be doing. So please, 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 please just put down the phone. That's all we ask. Just please put down the phone. You are driving a very large loaded weapon. And that weapon is deadly to us. It's deadly to people even when they're driving their cars and trucks because, you know, you could run into them and you could cause a problem. They just happen to have a lot more protection than we have as cyclists and pedestrians on the road. So it would really be helpful if you just turn off the phone. So I was talking about my job and the fact that I'm in communication a lot of times. I will have my phone ring or I'll actually have someone send me a text because a lot of my customers have learned that if you text Ron that you can get things done that way too. And then they expect me to text them back and I don't because I'm driving. So I'm not going to do that. And then I'll get a response. And when I finally get a chance to pull over and I'm stopped and parked somewhere, I will get I will respond back and they'll be surprised to find that, you know, it took me so long to get back to them. And it's like, you know, I'm just not going to do it while I'm driving. You need to be responsible when you're driving your car. You need to put that thing down. And boy, I'll tell you, I just when I see people and I'm riding my bike and I see it all the time because it's become a very common occurrence. And I see people on their phones or texting or, you know, primarily on their phones with their phone right up to their ear and they're driving with one hand. They are not paying attention. I scared the living daylights out of a woman once when she had her window rolled down and I went by her and I was going the opposite direction. She's on the phone. She's on the cell phone and she's just chatting away. And when she never saw me, but I, you know, was in my lane going the opposite direction, she was rolling through a stop sign. She was not stopping. She was rolling through the stop sign and she was on the phone and her window was open. And I gave her a big shout, get off the phone. And I scared her to death. I mean, she almost swerved because of it, because she was so startled by the fact that I was there. But I would guess that she was probably pretty perturbed with me because I probably scared her. I'm sure that it startled her as much as it startled me to see her just driving with her phone in her hand and not looking at where she was going. So when you're driving your car and you're on the phone, you're going to lose a certain amount of your attention span. It's going to be difficult to do that. And you need to realize that the number one function when you get behind the wheel of an automobile or a truck is to drive it, not to be doing any of the other things. Having entertainment in the vehicle, having all these other fine luxuries that we have in our vehicles, that's all just fine and good. But the number one responsibility of you being in that vehicle is to drive it. So as our technology increases, as we find ourselves with all these wonderful luxuries in the car, and as I like to call them, distractions, they just really are causing it to be a real problem when it comes to paying attention. And you know, I'm gonna shout out here to the car manufacturers because they are very responsible here and probably not willing to claim this responsibility, but the car manufacturers are building cars that are becoming more and more distracting as we drive them. And in order to respond to that, they have decided that putting alarms in the cars and warning devices that automatically slam on your brakes if you're coming up to rear end someone, that's the answer. So what is that actually doing? What that's actually doing is it's encouraging the bad behavior. So it's encouraging the irresponsibility. This is not a good thing. It's not good for us as cyclists on the road. We depend on you paying attention if you're driving your car. So the people that are driving cars and trucks, be aware of the fact that there are people riding bicycles and that we do depend upon your responsibility in which to make the road safe for us because we don't have that protection that you have. Car manufacturers, if you're listening, please, please, please stop with the trying to make the car safer by adding all this alarm stuff in. Or you don't have to stop doing that. I guess that's fine. You can certainly do that. But what you really need to be doing is figuring out a way to interact with the phone that the person has in the car and make it not work while the car is running. So if the car is running forward, then there's got to be some way to stop the driver from using it. If the passenger wants to use it, I know this is, we're kind of stepping on a slippery slope here, and we're also going into a heavy technological question here, but if anyone has that answer, you could always let us know what you think, and you can email me at bicycletalk1@gmail.com, and we can discuss this on another show, because I'd really like to know if there's some way that you can interact with the cell phone in the car. I know that if you are a manufacturer of a vehicle, boy, if you could figure out a way to intercept the driver's phone and make it not work while they're driving their car, that would be a great thing. I know that as far as the alcohol goes, they have items that you can actually put into the car that will detect the alcohol in the car on a person's breath, and the car won't start. There are things that can be done. You can override the starting of a car if that car is being operated by a driver who has a high blood alcohol content. So, you know, there is technology out there. I mean, there's technology for a lot of things, but why don't we look at solving the problem instead of putting a Band-Aid on it and coming out with these wonderful cars that are supposed to be so much more safe, and they're really not that safe. So not safe for us anyway. Safer for the people that are behind the wheel of the car, not so safe for those of us that are riding our bicycles down the road. So if anyone has any ideas on that and they want to contribute to it and contribute to the show, we would love to hear from you, because this is a big subject. It's a big concern. It's such a big concern that this organization was developed. The Ride of Silence was organized back in 2003, and has been going on ever since by Chris Phelan. And he's really done a lot to get the word out. But we do need to get the word out more, if we can. The more that we can get the word out, the more we can make our roads safer and get all of us more protected as we ride our bikes down the road. So make sure that you talk to your local organization. If you live here in Connecticut, then you would be talking to Connecticut Bike Walk, and you can organize through them. I'm sure they would be very happy and receptive to have this work. And you can get your own Ride of Silence going. If you're in Massachusetts, I know that there's the Massachusetts Bicycle Coalition, and you can talk to my friend Richard Fries, and he will be able to with that too. And website information here, and we'll see if we can bring out the word here for the Ride of Silence. You know, the tough part about this, and I think that the biggest issue that we have a growing problem because of the distraction which has been created in our vehicles. And that's where the real issue is. You know, it's really great that there are these big video screens in cars, and that they now put them so they face the back seat, so that if you have kids in your car, they can watch a video or be entertained in some way when we're driving along. But these screens have moved up to the front of the car, and they're in the center of the dash, and it is really a problem, and it needs to be addressed. Again, I shout out one more time to the car manufacturers, please stop designing deadly vehicles, because that's what you're doing when you're contributing to our well-being on the road, being a cyclist. Then you are actually designing a deadly vehicle, and that is going to come back to the car manufacturers in not a good way. It's going to cost them some money if they're not real careful about this, because if there are any lawyers out there, and I know there are because I know a couple of them that listen to my show, and they're looking for a direction of which to try to help those of us who ride bicycles on the road all the time, or are pedestrians on the road all the time, please, 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 let's do some brainstorming here and come through and see what we can do. So anyway, I just got an email from Marty Fine from Danbury. Being that you are from the Danbury area, there's a possibility we could put you here personally in the future if you would like to do something like this. And we can talk about that in the future. So please contact me back by email and let me know. That would be great. And we'll get you here physically. So why does this organization exist? This organization exists to honor those who have been injured or killed. It's also there to raise awareness that we are here and to ask that we all share the road. Very simple, very, very simple message. And it's so, so important. I would definitely look at their website. There are a number of different things. There's videos and photos. There are different links on here. There's, there's the founder's blog. You can go to the blog and you can talk to Chris and get your thoughts across, and he can help you with getting your organization ready. Remember that there's things like there's a national bike event, which is the National Bike Summit. It will be in 2017. That is, I believe, in Washington, D.C., and I believe it is in March of 2017. I'll get more information on that in the future, and we can talk about that a little bit too, because there is a National Bike Summit where a lot of people who are very concerned about the advocacy of cycling and people's rights on bicycles, they all organize for that particular event. So that will be coming up in 2017. So that's certainly something to look for too. There are a lot of interesting things out there that you can get yourself involved with. But the Ride of Silence is what we are talking about today. So we'd like to talk more about this. And if you take a look at their website, this is probably the best thing I can do as far as information today, because it, you know, we are, like I said, we were trying to put some people on and talk about this. I know that Lacey, who was going to be on the air with us today, she lost her father to a driver of a vehicle that did not see him or was impaired in some way. I'm not sure of all of the details, but that's why she was coming onto the air with us. So she has a particular concern, and I do believe, and sorry to hear this, I believe that this is an anniversary or very close to an anniversary of that event. So anyway, our thoughts go out to Lacey for the loss of her father. And, we are all just very vulnerable out there. And that's why I want you to, just please, please be careful. If you go on to the website, you will see that there's even a Ride of Silence poem that you can read. It just talks about, just the whole issue. There's different things you can check into. There's, different news and media that's there. You can see a lot of different organizations that have been very, very involved in this. So, and there's even a, look at that, there's even a PSA. But so the idea is that, we are all just very much people that are out there on the road. There's a list on here of people that have been killed while due to bicycle motorist crashes. And there's if you go to the top of their page, it says in memoriam, and it gives an alphabetical list of all the people that have lost their lives to motorized vehicles while riding their bicycles. And it's unfortunately impressively long. So there's an awful lot of people on here just going through the A's and B's right now. It's amazing. So, these are real people with real lives, kind of like the group of people that were hit earlier this year in Kalamazoo that made national news. And that's what it took to make national news. I mean, there were 9 people out on that ride, and they were people that ride together all the time. They're responsible cyclists. They pay attention. They follow the rules of the road. They weren't doing anything wrong, and they've got mowed down by a pickup truck who was out of control. I'm still looking for further information on that, and I have not been able to find any. So if anybody has any further information about that, if you live out there, if you live in Michigan, and you know more about what eventually happened to the driver of that pickup truck, I'd really like to know, or what the story is on a court date, because how do you deal with this? You killed 5 people. I mean, it's a very, very serious situation. And because it made national news, he's probably in a lot of trouble. He's probably not going to get off as easy as this other person did, which I talked about in the beginning of the show. You know, it's crazy that you could be able to do something like this and not get a much more serious sentence for that sort of thing. If you were to pick up a weapon of another type, you know, something that was like a handgun or a knife or something like that, and you were to kill someone, you would spend many, many years in prison for it. And yet, if you're driving your car or your truck, no, it doesn't work that way. We got to change the laws. If you know someone that is in your state legislature and they can put a bill through that maybe pushes this idea of changing the laws, this would be a great day to start that. Go for it. We all have to get ourselves organized, and we have to get going on this sort of thing, because it just can't go on. We need to start teaching people to be more responsible when they're driving their cars, and as well as we need to be more responsible when we ride our bicycles on the road too. It doesn't work just one way. It has to work both ways. I tell people this all the time when I'm riding with them. I tell them that if you're looking for respect when you're riding your bicycle on the road, you won't get respect until you start giving it. That's an important message, very, very key, important message. You want to make sure that you're responsible when you ride your bike, so you show the driver of the person who is driving the car or the person who is driving the truck that you are responsible and that you are knowing of the laws and the rules of the road, so that and you are obeying them just as they do and they have to when they're driving their cars or their trucks. So be responsible and you'll get people that are responsible back. I'm thinking in the best world here as much as I can. It would be in a perfect world, let's say. So you want to you definitely want to make sure that you are that you are paying attention and that you are exercising the you know, your correct behavior when you're riding your bike, so that therefore we all come across as being, oh, that really nice person on the bicycle. Boy, I went out and I was driving my car today and I'm driving down the road and this person, there were three or four people on bikes, and all of a sudden they singled out into a single line, and they gave me plenty of room so I could get around them, and it was really very, very nice of them. And then when I went by, they waved to me. That's another one. When was the last time you waved to someone who was driving a car or a truck? Wave to them. If you're out there riding your bike and you're being responsible and you're behaving yourself, and you are, you know, you see someone in that car and they give you the space and the consideration when they pass you, then wave to them. Thank them. Thank them for what they do. When I get to an intersection, if I get to, let's say, a four-way intersection or even a two-way intersection, and I've come to a stop and a driver of a car or a truck signals to me and lets me go, not that they need to. We are just vehicles as they are, and if they got to the intersection first, then they have the right to go first. But a lot of times, people are very, very considerate, and they will they will signal and they'll you know, wave me through and let me go. I always thank them. I always wave to them. I always thank them. I thank them for being patient. I thank them for being considerate. And these are messages that you need to let people know that are driving cars and driving trucks. Because we're all just people. We all just want to get to where we have to go to. And we all just want respect from one another. That's all we're really asking for here. So make sure that you're communicating well with the people that are driving cars and trucks, if you are someone who rides a bicycle. So the National Bike Summit, by the way, is March 6th through the 9th in Washington, D.C. in 2017. So there is this is sponsored by the League of American Bicyclists. a national organization. If you need to know more about the league, you can go to bikeleague.org and you do /summit, and that will put you right to the summit. But anyway, they are organizing already, and it's at the Renaissance in Washington, D.C. Hotel. So it's a premier bike advocacy event of the year, and it basically unites the voices of bicyclists on Capitol Hill with new leadership in the Oval Office. We need your voice for bikes at the Capitol Hill. Click here, and then they have a little click here so you can see a little clip from the 2016 summit. So anyway, this is an important thing. If you have the time and if you can get to Washington, D.C., show up in numbers, bring your bicycle, make it all happen. Get out there and let people know that you care about bicyclists' rights and laws and regulations on the road. It's an extremely, extremely important thing. So again, you can go to bikeleague.org/summit, and that will put you into the National Bike Summit for 2017. You can sign up now, and you can look at a lot of different things. When you go to that page, you'll look at federal advocacy, state and local advocacy, bike laws, and a number of other different things that are there. And there's a big FAQ for all the different questions that you might ask about the registration and how you go about it. So it's just like-minded people that are all there that are concerned about the rights of cyclists and keeping us all safe out there on the road. So anyway, unfortunately, we will try this again another time. So we will try to get through to the... We'll try to get through to Chris again for another time. And anyway, this has been Bicycle Talk. You've been listening to Bicycle Talk with my co-host, Fran Storch. This is the show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. You can call or text us at 860-486-9487. Or if you're listening to this on podcast or are listening to the very end of the show here, you can reach me by contacting at bicycletalk1@gmail.com. This is Pedalin' Ron. May you always keep the rubber side down and the wind at your back. Get out and ride your bike. This is 91.7 WHUS, Storrs, Connecticut.